Welcome to Kishmish, a podcast where we explore the rich tapestry of South Asian cinema and offer a deeper discussion on the broader themes and sociocultural implications behind the films that we watch. In each series of this podcast, we'll be exploring a different time in cinematic history, different genres, and specific themes. And through the films that we choose, we'll talk about all the things that affect our communities, like patriarchy, feminism, parental relationships, migration politics, sexuality, etc., etc., etc. We also hope to situate some of our favorite films in the cultural and historical context in which they were made and deconstruct them a little bit from today's perspective. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the 90s edition of Did This Age Well, where we revisit Bollywood hits of our youth and ask ourselves, would this fly today? And by this we mean the mixed bag of classic story archetypes, entertaining song and dance sequences, over-the-top romances, along with tropes of patriarchy and South Asian morality, and also diaspora politics that we know and love and hate from the 90s. I'm Karan.
And I'm Shazma. And over the last and next few episodes, we're exploring some of our 90s favorites, Bollywood favorites, to explore a core theme like class, sexuality, feminism, and in this case, NRI or diaspora patriotism to the homeland.
Mm-hmm.
So today's film is the 1997 hit
film
Pardes.
It's so funny, you like look at me skeptically. Was this film worth success? You did the same with Lamhe. It's so funny.
Well, because I don't remember.
Okay.
I mean, Lamhe was a fair question.
It was definitely, because it was a more complicated path of the film, but also because we just wanted like a bit of a spoiler alert for our audiences that we will be discussing plot points, we'll be sharing the summary of the film. So if you haven't watched it, well, it's been
26 years
of this film. I still remember the songs though.
Yeah.
So
I do remember the songs as well. I love my India. Oh gosh, yeah. So much to talk about in that.
And I'm going
to
tell you a story, if I remember my history lesson, of where somebody said, India is a bride and Hindus are and Muslims are the two eyes of that bride. This was a story that I learned in my history class.
Really?
Yeah. So
interesting.
Anyways. Yeah. So the ye dunya ek dulhan. Dulhan means a bride. Like,
yes.
That's the word for bride. So that kind of just reminded me. Sorry, completely random thought. But I want to share that with.
Digression.
We share these kind of old stories about South Asia often. So this was a slight digression.
I don't.
I share them with you all the time.
You do.
Okay.
You share them with me.
Okay,
we share. Stories.
That's what I mean.
We're playing semantics.
Okay.
All right, should we get into the summary?
Yes, please.
So, Pardes. So we meet Kishori Lal, who is a wealthy NRI, i.e. non-resident Indian. So a guy who's immigrated. he is living in the U.S. and he is visiting his childhood friend Surajdev in Surajdev's village in India. And like, it really is a village home. Like,
they are
in the Gaon.
Yeah.
Okay. So when he goes to visit, Surajdev goes to pick him up, and at the same time, he meets Surajdev's daughter Ganga, her name's Kusum Ganga, but
they call her Ganga.
It took me a while to get there. But he really, really takes to Ganga. Like, he really likes her, and he likes that she, you know, carries with her these Indian values, and she's kind of like this Siddhi, Sadhi, you know, image of Indian purity, etc. So over a few days, you know, he gets to know her and the family, and he asks Surajdev for Ganga's hand in marriage to his son.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, you know, my son is American. You know, he really needs a wife like her to connect him back to his culture and his identity. We learn that his son Rajiv, his mom is no longer in the picture. I think she's passed or something. So there's nothing connecting him
to the motherland,
his culture,
yeah.
Right? Because you need a woman to connect you to your culture. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. I also have a story about that, so.
Oh my
No, the, no, the, because I think somebody said, and I've shared this with you, that I don't want to talk about all cultures. I can only speak of my culture. In our culture, women carry the burden of tradition.
Yes.
Women do carry the burden. So it's not wrong to say that you need a woman to root you to a culture. I don't think that it would be completely wrong, because we come from an upbringing, like I would speak about my mom like that, my grandmother.
I'm critiquing it.
Yeah. Oh, you're critiquing it. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. But I've actually grown up with this idea that women do carry the burden of our...
Yeah, but I'm problematizing it.
Of course it's a problem. It's problematic, but I'm saying that they are made responsible to carry the burden.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what
we
I'm
agree.
Saying. Yeah, we agree. I'm not saying it's not a problem. I'm saying that's the truth.
This is what we expect.
Exactly. We're
going to talk a little bit more about this, but carrying on with the summary.
Digression is the theme today.
This is what we do. Uh-huh. Get used to it, dear listener.
go.
So anyway, so he's like, you know, like my son really needs a wife like her, Indian values, and this will help him connect back to his culture and his identity. And everyone is, I mean, Surajdev is willing to accept, but everyone in the family is reticent. Like, they're quite hesitant. They don't want to send Ganga abroad. And we learn later too that Kishori Lal's family in the States is also like, why did you do this? She's from there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this doesn't make any sense.
How would she fit?
Everyone is just hesitant. I think fairly so. But in order to kind of bridge the gap between Ganga and Rajiv's cultures, he proposes like an acclimation period. So he's suggesting that he brings Rajiv over to meet her and sort of get to know her. But before that, he's going to send his foster son / nephew, Arjun, played by Shah Rukh Khan.
Our favorite.
Okay, our favorite. Well, you were criticizing him in another podcast.
Oh my God, I did not.
That's fine.
I did not. I was just using, this is like 58 years old. I was just using the age difference.
Okay,
like,
fine. So, another digression.
So fair.
False accusation.
False accusation.
This is the name of the game.
Flying around.
Well, anyway. as I was saying, so Arjun is going to come and sort of, you know, acclimate the family who lives, you know, they're very village type family. He's going to sort of set up the
He's
going
to like prep the house
prep the
for
family,
to
train,
welcome. Yeah.
Train Ganga a little bit and like what Rajiv likes and doesn't and sort of set the match up for success. So, and you know, Arjun is going to listen to Kishori Lal because he worships
Kishori Lal.
He has adopted him. Arjun
taking
is an orphan.
Yeah.
He's adopted him, taken care of him. So he's like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Cool. Arjun arrives in the village, you know, to sort of provide this little training. And part of this training is to be a little bit less gaudy, you know. So he's like trying to get rid of all the buffalo and cow, or I don't remember what they are.
Goats.
He's just trying to clean up the space. He's trying to clean up the space to make it a little bit more like appealing to Rajiv and sort of set them up. So, you know, at first there's some bumps in the road, but the family becomes quite charmed by him, and then he and Ganga sort of form a strong friendship.
Yeah.
And she really becomes her support system throughout all of this. And then eventually Rajiv and Kishori Lal travel to India to meet the family and to meet Ganga. And Rajiv, surprisingly, agrees to the match.
Mm-hmm.
Ganga is quite beautiful, so, you know, maybe that's a reason. So Rajiv agrees, but he's like, you know, I think she needs to know what it's going to be like to live in the States. So why don't we bring her to the States? She can live with us for a little while and she can sort of acclimate herself a bit. Right.
And so, this is like such a huge taboo. Just the notion that the unmarried girl is going to travel to the US.
So their
right?
way around this is they get engaged.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So they do a whole sagai and bidai, and you know they're giving her.
And the aunt will travel with Ganga, right?
And they make the aunt go travel with her. So you know, she's in safe hands. She's meant to be taken care of. So she goes, and she has a hard time. Right? She's
the odd person out,
she's
right?
She's the odd person out. There's huge culture shock. She sees herself as a misfit. You know, there's lots of like miscommunication, social situations that
also
don't make sense.
The aunts in the house, remember that first party when she's being introduced to the community, that
the family doesn't really like her.
Yeah, like her.
They sort of look down on her because
exactly.
she's a girl from
the village.
What is she doing here, you know? I don't know that there is like integrity to that line of the part of the story, but you know, they're looking down on her because they're quite wealthy, and they're like, what is she doing here? Why are you forcing this match on Rajiv? Anyway, she's not doing so good there.
And she also sees Rajiv's character.
Yeah.
That he's
She
like,
learns more about Rajiv.
Yeah, she's flirting with other girls. And
he drinks alcohol.
Yeah.
He smokes. He's hidden all of that. She didn't know all of that about
absolutely.
Him before. And she's starting to question the match.
Mm-hmm.
And through all of this, she still relies on Arjun for support. I mean, and she's also starting to see how Arjun is treated in the family
mm-hmm.
as a servant, essentially. And she's not sitting super well with her. You know, she's like, what? This is weird. And they sort of treat her the same way. And she's not having a great time. Eventually, you know, there's some jealousy from Rajiv in the relationship, sort of stoked by the rest of the family, his evil aunts, about the relationship between Ganga and Arjun. They have a very strong friendship. We learn that Arjun has feelings for Ganga, but he's not going to say anything. Ganga doesn't, he's her friend.
Yeah.
So they decide to separate them. So Arjun gets a job in the company in another division in another side of the country. He leaves and Ganga is sort of left to fend for herself in this family. So she's sort of lost her only friend, her only source of support. And she's spending more and more time with Rajiv, who is a little neglectful of her. And like, he's very like, forceful. He's kind of an F-boy, you know what I mean? Like, he's kind of douchey. And so he's always trying to, like, force his values and his opinions, and he's on her, and he's trying to make her more westernized, and she's just like, I'm not comfortable with this. And it's pretty clear he looks down on her as well in her ways, and it's not sitting right with her. In all of this time, you know, eventually they had their first argument. Kishori Lal sort of mends the fences and suggests that they go to Vegas together. I don't know why, but they go to Vegas. And, you know, she's not like, by this point, she's having serious misgivings about their relationship. And Rajiv crosses a line with her. He basically, like, he insults her. He's trying to force herself on him.
He
sexually assaults her. In the hotel room. And like, he's just like, he says a lot of really rude and crude things about Indians and Indian people as a society. Very like uncalled for and just like very looking down on Indian folks. And she takes offense to this. They have a physical altercation. She extricates herself and she runs away.
Mm-hmm.
She runs away and she's disappeared. And Arjun comes to know that she's like disappeared, and he sort of leaves everything to go and find her. He learns what's happened to her and he decides he's going to help her out because she wants to go back to India. She's like, I'm done.
I don't want
to
be here.
We're not doing this.
Yeah.
I'm going back. You have to help me because you got me into this,
yeah.
Which he kind of did.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, he loves her, but also, he wants to help her, but he also has these sort of feelings of loyalty to Kishori Lal
and the family,
and so he's, like, really in a tough spot. In the end, he decides, you know what, he has crossed a line, I'm going to help you. So he takes her back, and everyone's mad.
And because Kishori Lal finds out.
Yes.
Right?
And she's with Arjun. And Arjun has taken her back. And so, like, obviously her purity is, like, put into question here.
Yeah, yeah.
She's basically returned home.
How dare Arjun? And Rajiv also is poisoning his father now,
yes.
Right? The servant person who we supported and helped and nurtured.
Has now taken my,
he stabbed
stolen
us.
My woman.
Yes,
he
stolen, stabbed us
yeah.
In the back.
So Ganga returns to India to her village, and her father is pissed that she's back.
Yeah.
He basically has said, you know, her mother is on side, but he has basically said, you've shamed us. All of this stupid uncle crap. Like, I'm sorry, but like, you loved your daughter so much before this, and now all of a sudden, she's come back from an abusive relationship, and you're like, oh no, well, you can't be here. You betrayed us. And he, like, imprisons her in the barn or something like this. He tries to kill Arjun. There's this whole conflict. And as all of this is happening and unfolding, Rajiv and Kishori Lal arrive in India to bring her back.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole face-off that ensues between Rajiv and Arjun and Kishorila. There's like fights and stuff. And then eventually it all comes to a head when Ganga finally speaks up for herself and she's like, hey, you know what? These are your Indian values. You want to know what your son did to me? And she shows everybody that he tried to rape her. And then all of a sudden they've changed, the uncles of in the room have changed their mind and they're like, you know what, you're right, you are still going to get married,
but now you get married to Arjun.
But now you're going to get married to Arjun. So anyway,
that's
this is
that's
sort
of your favorite.
How we end, and Ganga and Arjun finally, because by this point I've neglected to say, she realizes she loves him.
She does? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, when she's imprisoned in the barn, everyone's like, bro, you shouldn't be with Rajiv, you should be with Arjun. The grand, like all of the women in the family
and the kids too, right?
Are like, no, you should be with him, not Rajiv. You should go. We're gonna break you out of this barn prison.
Barn prison.
So, you know, she finally makes a stand, and you know, so does her grandmother, stands out for her as well, and she's like, oh, you guys with your stupid Indian values, but you don't even respect the purity of this woman that you're giving away. She should be with Arjun. So she ends up with Arjun and they live happily ever after.
Wow.
That's the summary
of
the story.
That's a dense story.
It is, right?
So much happens. My God. So much drama. So many twists and turns. Like this love triangle. And
I love me a good love triangle.
Oh, really? I did not know that. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess talking about the film, I have to say, this was, and Subhash Ghai can be credited for these kind of NRI type diasporic, like starting off. On these stories.
He started the trend?
Yeah, a trend about like diasporic stories,
okay.
NRIs coming back to India. There's a bunch of films that happened after Pardes. And Pardes was a reasonably successful film.
Yeah.
That kind of spoke about this nostalgia of people who live in the West, of how things are back home. It's very interesting. The film starts off with the song, I Love My India. Right?
Yeah.
That's the famous song.
Well, we had Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge before this.
But it was not it was not rooted in this idea. It didn't explore nostalgia in this way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does forcibly show Amrish Puri's character bringing his daughters, but she was already betrothed to him. Here, this idea that Indian values are far superior, because that's the exploration.
Yeah, they're comparing.
Then Ganga, the name Ganga represents the holy river in quotations, right? And then that represents the purity of India, the values of India, the culture. All of this is kind of an embodiment of what India represents and how this culture has somehow... Because there's a moment when Kishori Lal is kind of talking to Suraj Dev and to Ganga. He says that I would like my Ganga to flow in my family in the US, right?
Yeah.
So I need us to be connected to our culture somehow.
Mm.
And Ganga represents that.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I think this kind of rooted this idea into how diasporic people still have these...
Oh, they hold on to this nostalgia.
Absolutely. And that's what he was starting to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel that he was more of somebody who kind of started this idea, this trend of films about NRI people.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, this film has so much more in it,
mm-hmm.
because it also is the representation of how somebody from an Indian village is, them being an outcast,
yeah.
obviously the agency that he gives to his characters, even the whole idea about the fact that she's unmarried and she just gets engaged and she goes and lives with Rajiv's family in the US, all of these things are more kind of an exploration of how values and traditions are navigated.
Mm.
Right, so that's why I said that this is such a dense film.
Yeah, very East versus West kind of story.
Very East versus West kind of story. But at the heart of it, I think there is this intention. I don't know if it was the intentionality to create this kind of dichotomy of who's more, like who's the more moral, who's the superior one. Because Ganga goes to the evil West. She's wronged there.
Well, I think we can...
And then she comes back to
I think the evidence is pretty clear that there was an intention to paint one as more
absolutely.
Superior morally than the other.
Absolutely.
Which I take issue with as a diaspora.
Please elaborate.
Well, I just think it's very generalizing to assume that everyone in the West behaves in the way that Rajiv's family does. I mean, certainly there's people that behave that way, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's such an overgeneralization to assume that we're morally defunct,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That we don't value the purity of people. Or like a woman's purity.
Here. Or the fact that there's no tradition, no culture.
Yeah. If anything, my experience has been that in diaspora communities, we hold on to an older version of the culture, while in India, things move forward and become modernized.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because it's also the space and time that we leave our country of origin, mm-hmm. to go and live somewhere else, to immigrate somewhere else, right? Yeah. So that's the context of the construct.
My experience is that my parents and other diaspora kids' parents have held on to the culture so tightly,
mm-hmm.
in a way that I don't know that they would have if they were living in India.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a reaction to being in the West and like facing the loss of that culture in some way, shape, or form.
Right? How did you find, like, because I think the film is kind of constructed around this image through this prism of patriarchy,
mm.
right? Because the men of the family, whether it's the Kishori Lal and then Surajdev being the head of the family here, and then the woman being brought to kind of fix, because obviously he thinks that, Kishori Lal thinks that his son, Rajiv, doesn't understand culture. He's obviously, there's aspects of his life who's not disclosed to Ganga when they're trying to convince Ganga to come and spend some time to acclimatize to life in the US. So how did you respond to that kind of the tropes of patriarchy used to further the story, to further the narrative?
Pretty par for the course.
Okay.
I mean, what's different?
No, because I think, and we kind of spoke about this before, that unfortunately or problematically, it's the woman who's made responsible.
Oh, yeah, you want to have that conversation?
Yeah, yeah. So that's where I was kind of going with that.
I think that's, it's a very common conception, mm-hmm, even in the West, right? Like this idea that, oh, someone has lost their mother, so they're not in touch with their
mm-hmm.
family or culture or community or traditions anymore, as though men don't hold on to those or mm-hmm. are not the arbiters of those. You know, I mean, he's a single father. He has a bunch of aunts around him. Like, where is the loss coming from?
And why is it that there's this kind of binary that's presented? So Ganga being this like perfect woman character, mm-hmm. like coming from India, and all the women. I think there is the grandmother, Kishori Lal's mother's character, is presented in a more humane light.
Yeah.
Right? Because she's the one on who's kind of the...
She's in a wheelchair, she always wears a sari.
Yeah, the elderly woman. But all the other women are like, none of them help.
Modern. They're all like snooty. And,
yeah, it's very strange how that kind of binary is presented.
I think the presentation of a diaspora community or NRI community is very reductionist.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely overgeneralized. And I think it betrays a complete lack of understanding of how our communities in the diaspora actually work.
And how they're not the expectation that they're homogenous. Right? This is such a large community in different parts of the world.
I know aunties that wore their shalwar kameez and saris to go grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm. Like, I see them even now, right?
Who's wearing like
Western clothes
all the time. This has not been my experience. I mean,
is it representative of that class that the film kind of tackles?
Maybe.
Because it's a different strata of...
Maybe.
Because Kishori Lal's family is wealthy?
Sure. But I think that even if we're going to have the conversation about class, I don't see how the reaction to Ganga would be different if they were in India.
Mm-hmm.
She's from the village. They're
absolutely
wealthy.
Absolutely.
It would be the same thing. So why are the diasporas folks being painted in this completely morally defunct light?
And
when we know this would happen, like Raja Hindustani was what, the year before?
Mm-hmm.
And we had the similar dichotomy of class and snooty upper class people looking down on a village partner.
And also,
and it's not like, it's like that doesn't happen in India.
And
what?
It's funny because even within the Kishori Lal family,
mm-hmm.
there's the class between just the Rajiv character and the Arjun character.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's the adopted.
They're family.
Right?
They're cousins.
And yet there's that class distinction in terms of how he's placed in the family,
because
how he's treated.
Because he's an orphan.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just like, what? Maybe it happens in the diaspora, but I haven't seen this happen. Like, I've seen a much more egalitarian version of this dynamic happen.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to the women holding the keys to the culture.
Let I would rather rephrase it slightly to say the burden of our traditions and our culture is kind of, it rests with our mothers, with our women, because I feel that the system of patriarchy that has been perpetuated,
yeah,
kind of, because it's a responsibility. It's an idea of transference to, right, from one generation to another. And in that, somebody has to take ownership of that transference.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I call it a burden, because there's no sharing, there's mm-hmm. no collectivism in that.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, as women, we're expected to speak the language, we're expected to pass the traditions, we're expected to pass on the religious knowledge, all of that. I mean, I've experienced this in my own life,
mm-hmm.
Where it's been like, well, you know, I've been wanting to get married to my partner, and there have been questions like, does she speak Urdu? Does she, you know, does mm-hmm. she, does she read
does
Quran?
She,
does she do this? Does she do, you know what I mean? But like, my partner doesn't speak perfect Urdu.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Double standards. I enter this as into an equal partnership where I expect my partner to be equal in mm-hmm. the parenting of any children, right? Should you want to have children, that's what the expectation is here. But I think often, and it's still the case, we're like, even when there's like a wayward boy in the family, we're like, get him married to a good girl.
Yes, it'll
him.
Yeah,
get
it'll
him
sort
on the right track.
And that's why I feel that there's nothing ingenuous in this film.
It's so
common.
Yeah.
That you find
in this respect.
Yeah, in this respect. The marriage will fix it. Marriage
yeah.
will fix if somebody's
get him married, get
yeah,
him some
exactly.
Responsibility. A woman will
yes,
fix him.
Yes, absolutely. And I think this is, and we've heard this growing up in
oh,
our
yeah.
communities, right?
Yeah.
Or because he's single and he's like,
but we also grow up with this. It's like indoctrinated into
mm-hmm.
us as women. Like, we're happy to, I mean, I can only speak to, I guess, my experience and the South Asian women around me, but like, we're like, oh, like, I can fix that guy. I'll make him, he's a playboy, but I'll make him commit.
And that's
well,
so,
you can never fix a guy.
That's so funny because that's how like we tool people, like in the sense of we're using them as tools to further these kind of
yeah.
patriarchal agendas.
And it's always women.
Yeah,
right?
It's always women.
I mean, women have always been used as a tool to cement the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, we like this can get very academic, but this goes back into conversations about independence and the purity of India being linked with the purity of our women and all of this stuff. Like, I can reference some academic literature in the show notes here, but it's not so removed.
Absolutely.
Right? From
Absolutely.
That idea. And so it is very apt. The issue that I take with this film is, and there are a few other films that talk about an NRI experience or a diaspora experience or people moving from here to there, India to the West. I'm thinking specifically right now of a similar era film, Ablot Chale.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, people in the West and, like, white folks in the West and diaspora kids are always painted with this, like, immorality brush.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so one-sided. There's no nuance. And I just like do some research, man. Like,
it's so interesting you say this because the other film, I don't know if we will discuss it, but Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham
mm.
is another film, right? Where it's not entirely diasporic, but the fact that Shah Rukh Khan's character, when he leaves the family,
mm-hmm.
he goes to England.
Yeah.
Right? All these Bollywood films go to England, which is hilarious. But
yeah.
So he goes to England and then Kajol, the wife, and they have a son there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kajol's sister or the sister-in-law, who's the character Poo.
Yeah.
Right? She grows up in this Western world in terms
yeah.
of this Western representation
yeah.
of how like what liberation means.
Yes.
And there's kind of the stereotyping to what you're speaking about, that we
mm-hmm.
kind of paint them in the same brush.
Yeah.
Which is so funny.
And then Hrithik Roshan's character has to come from India to make her more like
to tame her a little
tame
into
her and make her more sanskari.
And she does
yeah.
even in that. Like, she changes her wardrobe and
she stops wearing miniskirts and
exactly,
crop tops
she becomes
and she's
more
in a shalwar kameez.
Sanskar. So I think, which is so interesting that we're kind of honing in or hitting the nail on the head, is this kind of dichotomy that's presented, that everything in the West is problematic.
Yeah.
all these values that you have in India are amazing.
Yeah.
And the only way to fix the evil of the West is to take Indian values there.
Yeah.
And fix them or bring them back to fix them.
Yeah.
Without actually exploring what immigration means, what migration represents.
Yes.
What is displacement? Why do people move? And I think maybe our expectations are too much.
Yeah.
But if somebody's going to call their film Pardes, like a land which is far away from the land of my birth,
yeah,
I would have wanted to see something explored a bit better, right? Something more substantive, something a bit more thought-provoking, right?
Mm.
So there's a very simplistic representation, very kind of one-sided, untextured representation.
It's very reductionist.
Yeah, very reductionist.
Overgeneralized.
Overgeneralized.
It's like, it really, you know, and I see this often. I mean, sometimes, you know, you'll have the encounter with like there will be a film and they'll be somewhere in the West and you'll have the encounter with a white person or something like this, a native of that country. And I don't know why, but they all speak English really badly. Like, I don't know what happened. Got lost in translation there. But like somehow the men are always leery and they want to rape the heroine. Or they just want to rob you of your money. Like, I don't know, man. This has not been my experience. I'm not saying that catcalling and stuff, sexual harassment doesn't happen. But as like, it's
not
like
experience.
You know, in the film in Pardes, Ganga is waiting at the train station and she decides to run away from Arjun when Arjun finds her, and she runs into this like a couple of dudes, a black guy and a white guy, and they're like, "Oh, she's nice." In these weird,
yes.
I don't know what accent they were speaking.
That's so
in.
True.
So it wasn't American. There are so many films where this is represented. Abla chale, dil chahta hai, this happens. In Hum Dil De Chuke Sanam, they end up, I don't know, they're in Italy?
No, I think it's shot in, no, I think yeah, they say it's Italy.
We're
but
not
it's
sure
like,
where it is.
No, it's shot in Budapest.
It's okay, fine. So this explains the weird accents or like the not Italian.
But the bridge
accents.
Is Budapest. So you look at it and you're like, oh, we're in Italy. I'm like, no, you're not in Italy.
It's a digression, but you know, they get robbed by
yes.
some white folks. That, like, it's not realistic. It's just such a stereotype of the West as completely immoral, and India is not like this. I'm more likely to get assaulted or pickpocketed in another place,
anywhere,
not my home.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's the problem that I have with something like a Pardes or any other film that kind of shows this very simplistic, uninformed, reductionist, as you've called it, representation of culture,
yes,
of immigration,
yes,
of diasporic communities, where there's this assumed homogeneity, which is, in my ill-informed and stupid, because you cannot expect
yeah.
all communities to be homogenous.
No.
There's history,
no nuance.
Where they came from, when they came from, in what context they were displaced
mm-hmm.
or immigrated
mm-hmm.
or what sort of reasons brought them, and which part of the world do they live in, right?
Exactly.
So that's why there's this whole idea. I'm actually reminded that even in Pardes, there is that moment where she's introduced to everyone in the family.
Yeah.
Ganga is being introduced to everyone in the family. It's just so interesting that she's being introduced as this kind of, even Ganga's character,
mm-hmm.
when Ganga is introducing herself, she's shown as this very kind of unempowered, very shy,
right.
Yeah, without any sort of sense of, I wouldn't say self-worth, just kind of
yeah.
a sense of herself.
Which is a departure from how you meet her.
Yeah, because when she, when Arjun comes to the house and he's trying to take away the animals, she actually lectures him.
She teaches him a lesson.
She's like, we don't stop or end our existing relationship, change our existing relationships to form new relationships.
Yeah. She's very self-assertive.
She's very assertive. And then she finds herself in this new environment, and sure, there would be a case of, oh, it's a new environment, you're not in your safe or secure or friendly space, so perhaps there's hesitation. But she just comes across as this very kind of meek
she does
character.
In some respects to the family. I think that there are moments, though, in conversations with Rajiv where she's just like, you're not going to talk to me that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he, I don't know, he said something about Indians in an early interaction, you bloody Indians or something like this. And she was like, you said this once.
Don't repeat it again. Yeah.
So it's not like she doesn't have that agency, but it is so much removed from her. And then she's also, you know, she's like praised for her purity and her values. And, you know, she's quite sprightly and feisty in the beginning. And then she's just treated as property mm-hmm. without any agency to make the choice that fits her best.
What did you think about the resolution of, so she's not going to marry Rajiv, she's just going to marry Arjun? And maybe it's a film, obviously, there's drama to it and they have to kind of conclude the narrative somehow. Mm-hmm. Because I think even in that, for the longest time, there's friendship there.
Yes.
But we don't see Ganga's character looking at Arjun.
Yeah, I think the love was forced.
In the same light.
Yeah.
And maybe like it evolves and friendships turn into love, sure.
Mm.
But I think the way the film ends, and that's what I'm saying, because it's a dramatic trope to kind of bring conclusion or bring a climax to a film. But I thought even that was kind of very unauthentic to me.
On her part.
Yeah, because I'm like, okay, so she's not going to marry him, but she's going to marry the next guy.
Yeah.
Right?
She sort of had to be convinced that this is who you should get married to,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think given a little bit more time or maybe a little bit more tension or maybe a little more interaction between the two where you sort of saw the tension that could have happened. I don't think that was present in the film.
Mm-hmm.
She very much has friend-zoned him.
Yes, I think so too. So that's why I think that was a bit of a leap.
Yeah.
Right?
On his part, I mean, I think even like him admitting, I don't know, like I think the tension could have been built up a little bit better there, but you do kind of see it. Like the first moment he sees her, there's, and this is a credit to Shah Rukh Khan, there's like a subtlety in his acting where he's like, oh, she's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like there's a moment.
Yeah.
So you can believe it on his part, but on her part, not so much. But I think even in the end, like, she gives this whole speech, right, where she's just, like, criticizing Kishori Lal for his Indian values and yet wanting her to marry
his
this
hypocrisy,
guy who is not. Yeah, he's very hypocritical. And anyway, she gives this impassioned speech, and then she sort of rails into her dad, too, who just basically turned on her. I don't know how you can forgive that kind of betrayal, but he turned on her. And then it's deflating because she's like, okay, well, if you want me to live this poisonous life, I'll live it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want me to do. And it's like,
no,
this is not true to your character.
Yeah, this is not true to your character, and that's not the point. That's like if you're calling people out for bad behavior.
Don't then be like, okay, but I'll do what you want.
Exactly. The answer is not that you reconcile to that bad behavior, right? Or give in to that bad behavior, sorry.
But this is a very common, like, this is a very common resolution that we see in Bollywood films, because how dare we question our elders? They always know what's right. So, it was inauthentic, I agree, on her part. But, you know, I don't know, they're better suited to each other. So she had to marry somebody, I guess.
Oh my God. And I think that's what it's a dramatic trope, and that we had to, I guess the filmmaker had to do it. But to me, it would have been interesting to see, this is not what you could have ended the film on that.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what I have the bigger problem with? Not the bigger problem with. I have so many problems with the representation of Ganga, as we've been talking about. But an issue that I have is with Kishori Lal's character and towards his son. In that whole scene at the end, he's just like, oh, you don't represent Indian values. You're a bad person.
Go back to America.
Bro, you took him there.
Absolutely.
You got him there. He was raised in that culture.
There's some sort of responsibility.
Society. Yeah. As though you don't abscond your own accountability.
Absolutely.
Now. Like, you made this situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's uncles, man.
These uncles. highlights for you. Notable moments.
Notable moments.
Well, I love the moment when, because I don't know if you know this, Subhash Ghai had this very kind of Hitchcockian idea of showing up in his films as a cameo.
Yeah,
because Hitchcock used to do that.
I know, I don't love it with him.
So I think Subhash Ghai, I don't know if he knew about it, didn't know about it, but he used to do it too.
Okay,
so
I know.
In the song, he shows up on the boat.
I love my India.
Yeah.
Like he's the other wealthy guy enjoying his India.
Yeah, so he shows up on the boat, so I think that's kind of cute, but I've always found that a bit...
I thought that misguided as the character development was, Kishori Lal's family, his sisters... I don't know why they were painted as just wholesale evil, but they had a point. There was one sister who was like, why are you forcing this match? They come from
different
places.
A realism, I guess, there, right?
She had a point.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting take.
She wasn't wrong.
Yeah,
I don't know why she conspired to break them up, but I mean, they're from different cultures, entirely different cultures.
She was basically giving him a reality check that, hey, dude, like, this is not going to work.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
And it didn't work.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting moment for me, but also...
I loved the Mary Mahbuba song. It's a beautiful song.
I love the song. Yeah, it's a good song.
It's also a very interesting moment because it's Arjun's birthday.
Yeah.
Ganga shows up,
yeah,
right, and then the aunt calls her,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, "Oh, everyone's laughing at you that you're hanging out with those garage people and those like low lives, and you're not here with the family."
Yeah.
So she's like, "Return here right now, and you tell me if you're going to come back." And she says, "No, I'm not coming back. I'm staying."
Yeah.
And Arjun and his friends are basically looking at and endearingly, they're like, oh, she chose you.
Yeah.
So I thought that moment was beautiful.
It was cute.
It was cute. And I don't think that Ganga chose Arjun over going back to Rajiv. I think she was just using that as a moment to just
assert herself. Yeah.
And that's why I don't think she ever transgressed that kind or moved beyond the friend to love interest zone. So that's why it was kind of less plausible for me in the end. But just to say, the moment was beautiful. I love the song, even till date. There's just Shah Rukh Khan, charming as ever. The little dupatta flying.
Yeah.
And the romance.
And
basically, the lyrics of the song go that you're like a beautiful picture or an image.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for you to step out of the image, the person of my dreams, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I thought it was just beautiful.
Yeah.
There's so much poetry there.
How do we feel about this film in a contemporary, from a contemporary perspective?
Oh, well. Fail. Sorry. No, because I think that to everything that we've said, right?
The idea of a diaspora person trying to connect with
presents this very weird the dichotomy, and it's very kind of simplistic and India great, West evil, Indian value fixes West, tries to fix West evil, India must come back to, you know what I mean? So it's very kind of, it's very transactional.
Mm.
It's not very textured.
Mm.
It's not really thought out. There's no real exploration of either the characters.
Yes.
Or the subject matter that it's being tackled, right? Even if we were looking at a diasporic experience, or we were looking at how there's a disconnect between, and even the nostalgia that we were talking about in the beginning, that there's this desire to hold it, because Kishori Lal's idea or attempt to bring Ganga to the US is to relive. He's nostalgic about his country, right? He just doesn't use the right words.
Yeah.
He says, oh, you have to come and fix, you have to bring our India culture to the US. That's not what the film should be about. The film should be about this idea that we're kind of stuck in time because we have these dual identities.
Yeah.
People who move countries,
yes.
We are always in this dilemma. Where do I fit?
Which one is it?
Which one is it? Is it the country of adoption or is it the country that I left behind?
Yeah.
And that fundamental question, I don't think was either addressed, explored, or really like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's where I was lost. And I would have liked to see that.
Mm.
Right. So that's why I don't think it's a contemporary 2023-24 film.
I wonder too how much like the 50-year anniversary of India's independence played into the film at the time too, because at the end you see the whole
group of
India is 50 years old now and all of these pictures of landmarks in India and stuff like that. So I think Subhash Ghai is trying to tell the story, misguided as it is, of Indian-ness. And though all you people left and you lost your Indian values, you need to like come back or something. I don't know what he was trying to do, but
the film did well though.
It did do really well.
It was successful and the music was great, obviously, but
I mean, he does make hits. We'll give him that.
Yes, well, outside of Yade.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big flop. I was actually in Bombay and I was visiting Subhash Ghai as a struggling filmmaker wannabe in Bombay. I would show up at Subhash Ghai's office when Yade was being released, right? And then Yade flopped miserably, and he completely cast everyone outside. He's like, I'm not talking to anyone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's my little personal story of my interaction. I've actually met him.
Have you?
I've met Subhash Ghai.
Oh.
At Mukhtar Films offices in Bombay.
Okay.
This is the late 90s.
We'll have to talk about this interaction.
Yes, absolutely. I have so many stories about Bollywood. My God.
Bollywood Insider?
My forays into, my attempted forays into Bollywood.
Should this be a gupshup type podcast?
Maybe.
Are we not exploiting a strength?
Maybe a couple of episodes.
I think we've discussed some parallels to Queen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, tell me more about your thoughts there.
I think Queen, again, I have mixed feelings about the way Queen was conceived. Obviously, there's parallels because of the fact that...
The village girl.
Yeah, the village girl kind of goes, in this case, she
goes to a foreign land.
Foreign land. She
finds herself
lost, yeah, and finds herself out of place. So I think those are the parallels. I didn't really think Queen was that good a film, because I think the simplicity of the character, especially... Pardes was in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Queen was like 2015, 16?
A few years ago.
Yeah, a few years ago. So we don't, even the access to information today is very different. No matter how naive or clueless you are,
sure,
you don't show up in a foreign country and then like, what do I do with myself, right?
Sure.
So I think just that representation and the naivety that was shown of the character was just like, okay, I don't think this is possible.
Oh, interesting.
Right? So that's why, for me... I think Kangana Ranaut, who plays the female protagonist in that film, was given kudos for a great performance. And I think, yes, that was credible. But just the plausibility of the story didn't, like, stay with me. So that's why I didn't appreciate the film for that reason.
Sure. But this is a mid-90s, so we situated in...
Yeah, it's a different context and time. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I think you would see a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly access to... I mean, the migration patterns have changed.
Even, and that's the thing, right? Because there was a one-way migration, immigration that used to happen for decades.
Yes.
Right? And now we're seeing...
The type of person migrating for reasons are different.
Or the repatriation or the return of people who have migrated.
Yeah.
Diaspora people going back to their home country, that's also a new phenomenon that we're seeing, right?
Yeah.
So I think because of that, this subject matter would be treated very, very differently.
Dated.
Yeah,
it's dated.
It's very dated.
It's a good story, though. I like the story.
Oh, you do?
At its core. Again, I like a love triangle.
Okay.
I don't know if this is really qualifies as a love triangle, but
it kind of does, right? Because you have like one person in love, I guess. Okay, so if... He's in love with Ganga, but Ganga's not in love with Arjun. Arjun's in love with Ganga. So is that a love triangle?
Yeah.
Okay. We need to look into like what a... Because I've not seen... Actually, it's so interesting. I've not seen a good love triangle in a while. So I've really forgotten how a love triangle...
I watch K-dramas.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't.
They really do feed the love triangle. Okay. A lot of them feed a love triangle.
So I need to like really figure out how the perfect love triangle really should work, right?
Mm.
So I'm not sure. It was an okay film.
Okay.
I have to say when I watched it, it was just the music and Shah Rukh Khan and obviously for those reasons, it was enjoyable. I wouldn't say it's a good film. Not for me. Even in terms of the story was thin. It was dense in terms of just a lot of things happens and plots and twists. But that actually speaks to the fact that just because you have twists in a plot doesn't make a plot good.
I didn't think it had as many as the typical 90s film.
Mm.
Like even the side plot with the other suitor for Ganga was minimal.
It was like one scene of that.
Two scenes of it. It was weird.
It was very weird.
Dad is bad. Weird. But
oh my God, that's so true.
Dad is bad. Yeah.
You remember that?
I do remember that. It stuck with me. But no, I find that there was a lot more weird turns or subplots that don't actually make sense in a typical 90s Bollywood film. Right?
What about the Swayamvar type kabaddi match that happens to win Ganga?
Oh God. I was going to make that my notable moment, and I decided not to even raise it because I thought it was so cringy and eye-rolly. Like,
these, like, men, basically, it was like going back to the Mahabharata where...
Yeah, there were allusions
dueling
to Sita, and
yeah,
you're going to duel for this woman and win her heart. Like, she's not a prize. She's a human being.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And that never ends
in the film. And that's why I think that there's just so much...
It's cringe.
Cringe.
I don't know. I thought the story was compelling. Or like the core story was compelling. Maybe it's just that I like her character.
Who's your favorite character?
I like Maima Chowdhury's character.
Oh. It was, well, I don't think, and I have to go back into my history lesson of this time, but Mahima Chaudhary's launch film, or her first film, was
Pardes. Yeah.
Because Subhash Ghai used to launch actresses, new talent,
yeah,
in his film. So he did it with Madhuri Dixit, with Meenakshi Seshadri, and then Mahima Chaudhary.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I liked her character. I didn't love her being like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I liked her character. And the kids. The kids were cute.
Oh, the kids were cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually love the aunt who accompanies her, Himani Shikuri.
Comic relief.
Yeah, it was amazing comic relief. Even when she gets she's told that she'll be going to the U.S.
Yeah,
there's this like giggly, hesitant.
She's like, okay.
She's like, I'm going to the U.S. And even when she goes to the U.S. and
yeah,
then she sees people like dressed a certain way. And whatever, I just love it. I think she just brings so much comic relief.
Good comic relief.
And Himani Shipri is a very good actor.
Yeah.
I really like her.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's my favorite character.
Well, spirited discussion as always.
Thank you so much. It was great.
Thank you. And thank you, listeners. We hope you enjoyed this conversation of birthdays. And we'll see you in the next one.
Yeah, see you next time.
Bye. And that wraps up another episode of Gishmish. If you liked what you heard, please take a moment to like, subscribe, and share. Your engagement goes a long way in helping us to reach other film enthusiasts like you. And if you enjoyed listening to our thoughts on South Asian cinema and you'd like to hear more, please also consider supporting us for the cost of a chai or a coffee on our Patreon page. Your support helps us to create more of the content that you love. Every contribution, no matter how big or small, makes a big difference. You'll find the link in the episode description. Until next time, stay filmy.